position number 11212, reel 2.
Colonel Abbey at Humphreys, reel 2. We were discussing the way in which you were addressed at Sandhurst, Colonel.
Sir, by the PSI, who was a Brigade Sergeant Major, and he always addressed you as sir. And he said on his first parade, when he went on parade, the first day you were there, "You call me sir and I call you sir." Do you understand that? We had a royal cadet who was the Duke of Connaught's grandson, the Earl of Macduff. That Duke of Connaught lived at Bagshot Park, 3 miles from Camberley, and he was called by his brother Edward the Seventh, Queen Victoria's, he was son, his younger brother, he was a younger brother of Edward the Seventh. He was called my sainted brother Arthur, and he was a field marshal. Now, his son, Prince Arthur of Connaught, was living up in London as a royal, also HRH, Prince Arthur of Connaught, and Princess Arthur of Connaught. This boy became the Earl of Macduff. And he used to go up and touch grandfather for a pound here and there, because he was always broke. Right. Then we had quite a number of others, some much more senior by sort of title. We had dukes. We had a couple of dukes. And we had also Marquis, and we had an earl, and we had 2 viscounts and a lord. Just an ordinary lord. Mr. Viscount, or Mr. whatever the title was. Sir! My Lord Macduff, sir! He got my lord because he was royal. And the others, sir. The dukes didn't get to do your grace or anything. They, just sir. And going into the guards, a lot of these PSIs were all guards, you see, and most of the nobility in those days, being rich, went into the guards. Or the odd county regiment. The Viscount Gormanson went into the care while I was a poor Irish peer, the senior of the Irish peers. I can't think of any other one that didn't go into the guards of the dukes, etc., etc., etc. The royal personage was for the Royal Scots Grays. Right. That was the aware method of address on parade ground. The swearing was not cut out amongst the guards, sergeant majors. They called you buggers. Mr. Humphreys, you bugger. Or you fucking bugger, or something like that. On parade. No women about. Enormous parade ground. No rack. And, well, like the army today, I mean, they swear. Anyhow, we didn't, of course, swear. Well, we didn't even brought up to swear.
Was the training pretty harsh and hard?
Yes, pretty. I mean, it depends what you mean. The physical training was very harsh. The first 9 weeks on the square, where you went on the square for perhaps 3 hours a day, was very, very hard indeed. Very hard on the feet. I mean, you know, if you stamp in a hobnail boot, and you had to stamp, your feet get sore in a very short time. Right. Shall we go into uniform?
Yes.
We are in uniform now. I can't remember how long it all took before we got the last item. Peak cap with an RMC badge on the front. Khaki done up to the neck. Exactly the same as a private soldier in a county regiment or the guard. Guardsman. Boots, putties. Voluminous putties. Officer's type. Funnily enough, officer's putties were much more voluminous than other ranks' putties, because I tell you why. The other ranks' putties, that's in regular army, if you pull them down, they made a trouser. So therefore they were very narrow. And the putty came up to the line, you could see almost the top of the putty, because it was so narrow that if you pull them down, they would make a trouser. And they, of course, they only had 2 pairs of boots, other ranks, black boots, and one good one and one bad one. One for dirty work and one for training. Now, the officers was a proper putty, like a +4. Like a golf +4. It had a bottle. So we had issued trousers, paid for, and the brown shoes we produced ourselves. They were not paid for. All we got was the wear of boots. We got 1 pair of boots, brown boots, which were dubbined. So they were a sort of hazy grey colour by the time it had been dubbined and dubbined and dubbined and dubbined. And then you've got 1 pair of boots that shone like nothing on earth. Oh, sorry, and you've got a pair of boots to ride in. So you've got riding boots and gaiters. Brown. Parade boots, putties and +4s. Training boots for map reading exercises, country work anywhere, dubbing. Keep eye on the clock. Right, you want me to now ask me something else?
What colour was the uniform then?
Khaki.
It was khaki.
Yes, it was woolly khaki. It was a stupid thing because officers, when you joined the regiment, wore balathea. And this was not balathea. This was woolly khaki. It was like the soldiers' woolly uniform, but an officer's pattern.
Was there any bullying within the?
Oh, unit? Yes, I expect there was. I mean, I wasn't subject to bullying. Oh, yes. There was quite a lot I heard about. Quite a lot. I mean, perhaps 3 cases a term or something in each company, so 12 cases. But they all brought to light. And some of them weren't. They were equivalent to Queen Court Martial. They were dismissed from the military college. If they're bad, if it was only just a little sort of minor bullying.
What was the form of discipline which was meted out for minor misdeeds?
Oh, restrictions. Equivalent to a CB. Confined to the grounds of Sandhurst. No bicycling up to the shops. No going to the cinema. No anything like that.
Can I ask you some questions about the training, Colonel? What form of training did you undertake at the college?
Training was based on the 1914-18 war. Digging enormous trench systems out in the country. Advancing very much in line, in although it was section formation, there was no arrowhead so much then. It was all heather, so it's jolly difficult digging. Very, very tough. You went, perhaps, you marched 5 miles out towards Bagshot, and you took a bit of the Surrey suburbia, as I call it, has pine trees, heather, and houses in the middle, you know. You took a bit of the training area allotted to the Royal Military College, and on the top of the hill or something, no reverse slopes, the trench system would start. But of course, when you got down, it was all camouflaged. So actually, if you looked from the up at it, you really like wouldn't see anything at all. Like, I presume, World War trenches in Normandy. In France, Piccadilly. Then, map reading. As I say, you generally bicycle to that. And that would be on Hotney Whitney Common, which is 5 miles away, about towards Yateley, south Sandhurst, on the Basingstoke Road. Well, cycling 5 miles took quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, 5 minutes for 5 miles, I mean for 5 minutes, 25 minutes perhaps, all in formation, toot, 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 all in with coloured bicycles, bars, and one company is green, one company is yellow, one company is red, and one company is blue. Right. You formed up. You dispersed into little groups. Instructors from pooled, regular instructors for the morning, took a little group of, you were six, and was about as much as you could do. Map reading. Syndicate of six. Right. Say you were 50, I think. So that is 8. 48. And then if there was an odd one, it was going 7. Right. Point over there. You know, map reading. What is that? A church with a spire? A church with a tower. You can just see, perhaps over the bridge, spire. You can just see a square tower over that bridge. You could just see that it was an escarpment because of the contours. You could just see that it was hill because of the contours. You could just see that it was wood because of the trees, the little tiny trees. You could see the wood, but I mean, you've got to sit map to the wood. Right. That completed, you solemnly. I think we had about an hour and a half at that. It takes a long time. So quite a lot of the morning. By the time you'd done, gone out there, come back, was taken up with a map reading. Having done your PT before breakfast, fall-in map reading, bicycle map reading. Then another field part of the exercise was, of course, the business of recognizing the odd plane. Very odd. Airplane that was, came over specially from the Farnborough Aerodrome or something like that. Well, they got as many as possible. It's rather like a miniature air display. And you had to say that. And of course, being six in a squad, you came around about every six time, you see. Then there was the never get into people's private gardens. No private gardens or anything like that. Because there were a lot of houses around there. Surrey is what I call houses in the trees. So that was limiting if you got into sort of rather more enclosed woodland country. The heath was just heather on either side of the road. Harford Bridge Flats, they were called. Harford Bridge Flats. And I expect they went for 3 miles from the 5 miles point from Sandhurst to the 8 miles point or 9 miles point towards Basingstoke. Then after that, you had, I didn't think of more field things as opposed to riding, which was a field theme because the cavalry was still operating. And you did cavalry formations, whatever regiment you were going into. I mean, you had to. If you were a good rider and you'd been, you went in the infantry. Funnily enough, I did ride, and I was loved it as a child. And I, though I say it, I was a good rider. So I went into number one squad from the word go. There were 1, 2, 3 when you were junior. And then as you became an intermediate, you had a special squad. And as I, the intermediate term, I went up into the special squad. So, though I say, I was in the top of the riding squads the whole time I was there, which was 18 months. Rode in the point-to-point the second term on a hard horse, very cheap. Father paid. £3.
You had to have your own horses.
£3, yes. Had to have your own horses. There were, no, there were horses there, but they weren't ridden by the likes of us. They were ridden by soldiery. They were ridden by the instructors, really. I mean, I expect you had 15 to 20 cavalry sergeants, sergeant majors. Scots Greys, Bays, King's Dragoon Guards, Carbineers, all the regiments. Now, a lot of them are amalgamated. And some of them were absolute stinkers. Some of them were sadists. They had sort of sadist faces, and they, if you fell off, and you fell very heavily, they'd say, "Get up, you damn fool! Yeah, I mean, Mr. Humphreys, sir!" And he was sort of a bit shaky. And there you are. You sort of stood up and you did that. And you grabbed the horse. And then he said, "Get on!" And the others were still going round the ring. Right. Some of them were absolutely first rate. Sympathetic. Got you to work with the horse. You and the horse were going as a machine. Heels down, toes up, heels in, spurs, boots, leggings, breeches, ordinary hat with the band down. You know, the band that goes there. And done up at the neck. Now, Sergeant Major. That is the cavalry Sergeant Major, equivalent to the RSM. Would come in every so often and go around all the rides. I mean, we rode one day, another junior division rode another day, another junior division another day, another junior division another day. Outdoor jumps were smaller than the outdoor jumps. The outdoor jumps were pretty mammoth, and that's where most people hit the deck. Right. So, riding over. Musketry. Shooting. The actual shooting. With live ammunition. And targets. How to signal. Did all your own signaling. The rangers were up towards the Bagshot area again. A lot of the training area was up there, and the shooting was the ordinary course that the private soldier took in an ordinary line regiment. No difference at all. You, by that time, had developed the same physique for getting it. Was a bit of a kick. You started off with a grouping. So zeroing first, zeroing a rifle. Then a grouping. And then a rapid, I think. I can't remember the order. And then 10 rounds, real rapid. And then a snap. Try coming up, one round. Down. Up, one round. 5 rounds. Snap. And I finished off with long range, which was the extreme range, which was 500. Most of the others were done at 300. So the grouping was the actual grouping. That's to get the rifle dead right. Was done at something a little less. Then you had to be a member of a butt party where you did the signalling. You were either butt party or in the rangers. Of course, safety precautions are absolutely foolproof. I never heard of anybody getting shot at Sandhurst. They got shot at the units round about. There were masses of units in the Aldershot area. But never at Sandhurst. I never heard of it.
Did you fire any other weapon than the rifle?
No. We didn't fire the pistol. Don't think so.
Did
you see the light machine gun was a Lewis gun in those days. I think perhaps we just fired a very elementary Lewis gun course. But then when I got into the regiment, we were an experimental machine gun brigade, and we had the newest gun out, which was called the ZGB, and it was a Polish gun. It was a light machine gun, rather like the Wren. But it was only certain regiments that had gone over to that while we were at Sandhurst. Experimental machine gun battalion, of which there were three in the whole of the army, I think. We happened to be at Blacktown, and we were picked just willy-nilly to be one.
Was there any other weapons of any kind? Anti-tank guns? Did you have anything like that to
No, I never saw an anti-tank gun. I expect they were there. I can't remember.
What about gas training? Did you do any gas training in this part
of
the course?
Oh, yes, you went into the gas chamber. And you put your gas mask on, and you held them, and then you held them. Different. The time went up. I mean, first perhaps term you'd hold them for, I don't know, 2 minutes. Next term you'd hold them for 5 minutes, and so on. And you held them till they expected you would have to hold them. You would have had to have held them in the World War I.
Hand grenades, was there any hand grenade training?
Yeah, hand grenades. There's pins pulled out and everything. Now, there were one or two, there were accidents. But nobody lost a limb or anything like that. But there were some very, very close shaves of musketry sergeants picking the thing up and throwing it out with the pin out. And the cadet sort of, well, I mean, he was shattered. But he never got punished for it because... Unless it was a deliberate sort of plan like that. I never heard of one that got punished for that.
What about mortars? Did you do any mortar training?
Mortar, yes. We had a little tiny thing called a 2-inch mortar. That was, well, just the same as any other mortar training. Limited range, very limited.
So this was basically...
Same as the 2-inch mortar they had at the beginning of the war, World War II.
So this was your weapons training, your field craft training.
Mm.
Was there any other aspect of training that they put you through?
No, I can't think of any others. The actual field training in the heather with denims on in the winter, perhaps, you know, overalls. Then night training. Quite a lot of night training. Night attacks, night withdrawals, that sort of thing we did.
Did you do any training with outside units at any time?
Yes. In so much that they came... For instance, on Hartley Whitney, the Harford Bridge Flats, we saw a demonstration of the Carbineers troop, commanded by Captain Gore Ford, World War I captain. We did the infantry. To the cavalry advancing. The cavalry advanced across the plain. And then at a certain time there was a bang, 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 and the cavalry did a charge. And we got down and we took positions that if the enemy fired through the cavalry, and they would get us. If they didn't, they might get a in theory, a horse or a rider. I mean, people did fall as realistically as possible. Somebody, a trooper, would see a heather. He'd just roll over, and his horse, he'd pull his horse down. That sort of thing. But could easily fall. And we were carried away by people with rainbow.